It seems like we've spent a lot of time on this podcast talking about transportation funding. It might be time to branch out.
Okay, I guess so.
So maybe this week we could talk about that big high-capacity wells bill that's headed to the governor's desk?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty important.
Okay, well, if that's not doing it for you, maybe we could talk about how the U.S. House passed a bill that would revamp America's healthcare system.
Sure, that's obviously a big deal.
Okay, well, the state Senate passed a bill that would legalize delivery robots.
Also a really big deal. But this transportation proposal Assembly Republicans released this week, it's huge.
That's not branching out.
What if I told you this? That transportation plan isn't just a transportation plan. It's a massive rewrite of Wisconsin's tax laws and would change the face of state government over the next decade.
Oh, okay. Well, now I'm sold. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm Laurel White.
And I'm Sean Johnson. Let's talk about transportation again and a whole lot more. So before we begin here, I think we have to...
We have to address the elephant in the room, or not in the room.
Or not in the room. John K. Wilson, our resident politics nerd, is...
On vacay.
This week. Yeah. Not in the room to... Does he keep us in line, or does he kind of get us in trouble?
I think he gets us in trouble.
I would agree with that.
So hopefully we're not too boring without him.
It's a possibility without our resident politics nerd that... This will just be a dry... I think we're just going to read from the Fiscal Bureau memos directly on this.
Here, let me just stack these papers. Ahem.
And roughly an hour later, we will end the podcast with some music.
Yeah.
We won't do that. But anyway, John will be back soon, but he's not here this week. So what are we talking about again? Transportation?
Transportation.
Why can't we convince ourselves to stop talking about this?
Because it's the marquee smackdown of the state budget.
Of course.
It's like my favorite descriptor for the transportation budget debate.
I think it's good. Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It didn't seem like a smackdown yesterday, though. It seemed like this is one of the biggest tax plans I've seen Republicans introduce in the Wisconsin Capitol ever. And everybody was kind of holding their fire on this yesterday, save for like one rank-and-file Republican senator. All the Republicans who've been at odds over transportation so far are saying, okay, we're going to give this a look.
Yeah. I mean, Senator Scott Fitzgerald was like, oh, this is interesting. I'm going to take a look at it. The governor says he's not ready to weigh in yet because it's a very complex plan. He wants a couple days to look at it. But there definitely aren't, you know, with the exception of Steve Nass, who you mentioned, a Republican senator who came out against it, there hasn't been a lot of, guns blazing about this particular proposal. But we should probably talk about what the proposal is.
Yeah. And speaking of Republicans kind of being on the same page, just when they introduced this yesterday, I don't know that I've ever seen such a big crowd of lawmakers in the assembly parlor introducing a bill. So they're the assembly parlor. It's where assembly legislators gather during session. They can go back there, drink a cup of coffee, have a pizza,
whatever. I always see
their
like sandwiches laid out. I'm very jealous when they get their like food delivery spread on late session nights.
This is that room. And what this room also does is it hosts press conferences at the end of this long room. So what happens is Speaker Voss walks into the room and like jams the lectern up against the row of reporters where I happen to be sitting in the front. So
he moved it up to like basically the first row.
Yes, it was right there. Like I could have reached up and knocked on it.
Oh, wow. That's not
awkward.
So
that all of these lawmakers could pile in. And, while only three Republican legislators talked, Voss, Representative Dale Coinga, who wrote this plan, and Representative John Nygren, who co-chairs the legislature's budget committee, you had all these other Republicans there essentially lending their support to this in some way or another.
Which is such an interesting thing because Coinga, the architect of the plan, said pretty much immediately, like, a lot of these people have problems with this plan.
And Voss said, I don't agree with everything in this plan.
Yeah.
And this doesn't solve transportation. It was an interesting little mix-up of quotes there. Mm-hmm. And when you pull them I don't think I'm even pulling those out of context, really. They were very freely admitting that this is a starting point in negotiations over transportation. And if that is what it is, there's a lot here for them to negotiate.
Yeah. I mean, there are some basic things that I think we can be pretty assured people are in agreement about. I mean, like, part of this plan is the repeal of the prevailing wage, which is already making its way through committees.
I wouldn't be 100% that they're all on board with that.
Oh, really?
They didn't do it last session. There was talk about doing it last session, and they didn't. So I just don't know for sure that they're on board with that.
So that's one thing that may or may not happen. There are a couple other things that aren't necessarily related to transportation that are in this plan that have kind of maybe been discussed before.
Well, I mean, it's like two plans, really.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've talked about budgets on here before being like a game of Jenga. We don't use House of Cards because that has negative connotations. We'll say Jenga, where if you pull one piece out, the whole thing falls down, right? Mm-hmm. This is not that. This is a huge rewrite of Wisconsin's income tax code and separately a restructuring of Wisconsin's transportation finance system. You could totally chop off that income tax stuff and it would have nothing to do with this transportation budget.
Yeah.
Nothing. It is the move to a flat tax from a progressive income tax. That is a phenomenally big change to Wisconsin's income tax system.
It's a huge change. But I guess maybe this is a silly question, but what does it have to do with transportation? Why was that idea presented in a plan that was kind of billed as Assembly Republicans are presenting their plan for roads in Wisconsin?
So it might be part of a political Jenga game. You know, it might be a situation where Dale Coyne feels like, first of all, I'd say this. I think Dale Coyne believes in this plan. This is totally mm-hmm. in line with everything he's talked about since he came to the legislature. He is unabashedly in support of cutting taxes across the board, having a simpler tax code. He's not afraid to say, yes, it cuts taxes for wealthy people because we want the same rate across the board. And that's what this does. So this is something he can personally defend. But also it kind of gives him a little political capital as he tries to sell this tax increase for transportation, because while this plan would cut the gas tax, it would, for the first time, at least in recent years, apply Wisconsin's sales tax to gasoline purchases. And the net effect would be right now on the average price of gas, a 7.2 cent per gallon increase in taxes on gasoline.
Right. Even
Wisconsin.
Though the gas tax itself is going down, the sales tax will now apply and kind of would result in ultimately people paying more taxes on gas, even though it's not the gas tax.
And the thing about moving to a sales tax on gas, too, is that right now, you know, the Fiscal Bureau, to arrive at that number, said we're looking at a $2.40 gallon of gas as their average gallon of gas. I remember pretty clearly a few years ago gas being a lot more expensive than that. Obviously, gas at some point will be expensive again, you mm-hmm. know. And when that gas price goes up,
the amount of money the state's bringing in
exactly.
will go up.
The state will get more money. So there are benefits to, you know, there are benefits to doing this now when the gas price is low. You can sell it a little bit easier than when the gas price is, say, $4 a gallon.
One thing that I'm kind of curious about that I think people might be interested in is what sort of outcomes this plan would have for the state transportation budget. So does the new kind of tax rearranging that Coyne is presenting, does it pay for all the projects? What does it do?
So that's sort of the crazy thing about all this. It's billed as the Assembly Republican Transportation Plan. But, and remember, the reason we're talking about this is partially because they feel like all these projects that are so important are, you know, on hold in the governor's budget. So for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, I-94 North-South in his district, he wants that expanded to six lanes. And Representative Coinga's part of Wisconsin in Milwaukee County, he wants the I-94 East-West project expanded, another mm-hmm. project that is on hold. Those remain basically where they were under this plan. This plan does not generate right now enough money to say all this stuff that we want to do, we're going to do now.
Right. Basically, what the plan does is it reduces the amount of borrowing that the governor proposed, $500 million in borrowing for transportation projects to pay for existing projects and repairs. This plan puts about, I think, $300 million in.
You are correct. Yeah, it reduces
borrowing to $200. So it's not no new projects, no expansion.
As far as we know now.
Right, as of right now. I mean, do you think that it was just too difficult for Assembly Republicans to come up with a list of projects, what should go forward, what should get money, because everyone has their own constituents and interests, and you're just not going to get everybody on board with a plan because of those individual needs, I guess?
So they basically said that this plan is big picture. It's about where we're going to go with financing of transportation over the next decade, and that we're going to solve some issues now with borrowing, but we aren't going to deal with projects, because as soon as you start doing that, it gets personal and you start dropping votes, basically.
Mm-hmm. But they've got to talk about projects at some point. That has to be part of the plan.
Oh yes, definitely. But they're not talking about it right now.
Okay.
I kind of look at this whole thing as, you know, they're scratching their heads on how they're going to reach a deal on transportation. And again, I think Representative Coinga would stand by a lot of this stuff, especially the tax changes. But I look at it as, let's put everything on the table here. We want all this stuff. And I think they even probably put some stuff in there that, like, they absolutely know is coming out.
You know, it's going to be like a 5-year-old presenting their Christmas list to their parents. Yeah. Like, I would like a pony and a car.
And a gun.
And they're like, and I don't want to have a license for it. And no, but
and they're like, well, see, Mom, I took the gun off my list, so I'm being reasonable. Where's
right.
my pony?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Okay, so that makes sense.
I kind of think there's some of that going on.
Okay.
When budget negotiations get to this point, I just feel like when you put this much out there, you're totally prepared for some of it to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So the flat tax, though, is just enormous. Just to put this in more context here, you know, right now, as we sit here right now, the tax rate on somebody who is making less than $11,500 a year is about 4%. And somebody who's making more than $250,000 a year is 7.65%. Under Representative Coinga's plan, those people would be paying the same amount
right.
By 2029.
And that same amount is 3.75?
It's 3.95, so about 4%. So the wealthiest people in Wisconsin right now would be paying taxes at a rate that the poorest people are paying at this moment. So what does that mean for state government? Once this is fully phased in 2029, you're looking at $2.4 billion a year less in revenue for state government if this were to become law compared to the governor's budget.
That's a huge amount.
It is a huge amount.
Because
yeah.
the entire state budget is $76
billion? That is. And that's all funds. That's federal funds. You name it.
So taking $2 billion out of that.
Literally, I think state government as we know it and what we do with state government money in Wisconsin would be so much different a decade from now than what it is right now, you know, if it were to move to the flat tax. So that is a big leap if they want to go there. And I just don't know if they do. It just hasn't been discussed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's being so quiet about it that I just don't know if that's going to happen. That is a big proposal, though.
Well, we're just going to have to wait and see. What were some other interesting things? I mean, there were so many tax reforms and not just changing the numbers, you know, moving to a flat tax, but Coinga's plan also proposed eliminating some deductions and doing something like the married couple credit and some property tax reductions that you would get, right?
Yeah. So when you file your income taxes now, if you rent or if you pay property taxes, so you do one of those things probably, you could claim that that credit on your income tax form. If you're married, you get a credit. This is like stuff that people are familiar with. And actually, they don't generate a whole lot of money from doing that.
Okay.
It creates a cleaner tax code, But how much capital do they want to spend on that, you know,
is
where I'm at. I think another thing that's in there that caught my – is going to catch a lot of people's eyes in Madison, for example.
Oh, can I guess?
Go for it.
Electric vehicles?
That's right.
Yeah.
So I actually think about that thing we said. We spent an entire podcast last week talking about the vehicle registration fee and whether Walker was maybe that's where they were going to get all this money.
Yep.
They're going to increase the vehicle registration fee for everybody. Well, that's not in this plan for everybody.
Not.
But what it is in there for
electric vehicles and hybrids.
And hybrids. So that's going to drive some people nuts who feel like, oh, look, I've done the, you know, the environmentally responsible choice here. I've gotten this, this clean vehicle. The argument in favor of doing this from the Department of Transportation when they proposed something similar a few years ago was your car is still damaging the road with weight, even though you're not paying that user fee in the form of gasoline like the rest of us, or
right.
to the degree that the rest of us are.
You're paying the registration fee, but you're not paying, you know, the taxes that are accrued on gas are not going, you know, obviously that's a big part of road funding. So
yeah.
And they're not paying that. For the numbers, it's a $35, let me see, make sure I get this right. It's $30 for hybrid vehicles and $125 for electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to raise $4.8 million over the next 2 years.
Yeah. So not a huge number for the budget.
Oh, can we talk about roundabouts?
Let's do it.
Can we play a tiny bit of the roundabout song here before we talk about roundabouts?
Here's the roundabout infomercial from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Take it slow, take it slow, take it slow.
Well, hi, folks. Next time you're out and about, we want you to know the right way to roundabout.
That's just so great. I think about that every time I go around a roundabout now. So, Sean, tell me about, like, the history of the roundabout debate. Because roundabouts are kind of like a boomerang issue. Boomerang TM WPR Politics podcast catchphrase. Roundabouts have been a big deal. Like, people have sort of made roundabouts a... like a demon in the corner, like, we don't like them, they're bad, they cost too much money. And then others are like, no, they're actually cheaper than intersections.
You're going to think about that song the next time you go through a roundabout. I'm going to think about your characterization of roundabouts as demons.
In the corner. Well, I was trying to think about, like, what's it when you put something up just to, like, tear it down and it's not necessarily, like, a straw man?
Is that
a straw man?
Yeah.
So, but I wasn't sure if that was right. So I was picturing kind of this ominous kind of scarecrow figure. And I was like, let's just call him the demon.
That works. yes. Roundabouts, as they're otherwise known, demons.
Right.
Are favored by engineers because statistically they're safer. And, you know, there's this idea that roundabouts are much more expensive. The Fiscal Bureau says we just don't have the numbers to back that up.
Mm-hmm.
That said, a number of Republican lawmakers do not like them, and they do not like them very much. And, you know, and it may not just be Republican lawmakers. It may be maybe others as well. But they have been outspoken about it. And so in this plan, there is a moratorium on new roundabouts. And so I kind of wanted to ask Speaker Voss about that because
he has opinions about roundabouts. He brings them up fairly frequently.
Yeah, he's like, you know, you guys are just wasting your time talking about roundabouts. It doesn't save any money to stop building roundabouts. And it, like, he's just up there. He just decided to stop fighting that battle in the name of this package. That was one of the things that's in there where you could say he does not support it.
Yeah.
But it's there because they're trying to get votes. They put everything in this thing and they're trying to get those votes. And we'll see what ends up in the final product.
It's important.
You know what we haven't talked about yet that we probably should?
What?
Minimum markup. The repeal
of
the partial repeal of the state's Unfair Sales Act, as it's called, is in there. This has been a dream of free market conservatives for quite some time in Wisconsin, but fought extremely vigorously by small mom and pop gas stations, grocery stores, you name it, a very powerful coalition. Let's call them effective because I think individually they're not powerful entities, but they kind of join together like Voltron to fight this proposal every couple
of
years.
Is that like a Masters of the Universe thing?
It's not. I forget what it's from.
Voltron.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to Google that while I'm talking because I can millennial and do that.
So this is where Representative Coinga says, because we're going to repeal this law, you're not going to pay more for gas. The Fiscal Bureau didn't have anything in their memo to back that up, though. Mm-hmm. There was nothing in there. That mean they essentially couldn't score that because they don't know that that's going to happen.
Right. We should clarify, repealing the minimum markup means that people can't sell gas for
below cost.
Yeah. And right now it says you have to mark it up by at least 9%.
Mm-hmm. This drops it to three, I
think.
Yeah.
So that's what it does. And this is a bill that... or a plan, a proposal that was its own bill last session,
I think. It's its own bill every session.
Yeah.
Every session since I've been here, there's been an effort to repeal that. And who wants it repealed? Bigger retailers like Walmart or Meijer, who happen to sell gas on the side, who could afford to drop their gas prices below cost.
And just sell more.
They would be able to undercut these smaller retailers. This is the argument.
Mm-hmm.
They would be able to... undercut these smaller retailers on price. These smaller retailers go out of business is what they say would happen. So that has been enough to kill that bill over and over again. But Dale Coinga spent a lot of time talking about that yesterday in the press conference. So we should mention it here.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and I want to talk about Voltron for 1 second.
Let's
Voltron, Defender of the Universe, is an American animated television series that features a team of astronauts who pilot a giant super robot known as Voltron.
So kind of like the petroleum marketers and the grocers and the mom and pop shops of the world, you know, when they're not selling gas and bread, they
come together,
join together
to fight
and they
repeal
fight
of
this
minimum
bill.
Markup.
Yeah, it happens.
That's
so
great.
You can imagine they've already formed and are fighting this one as we speak. So
this we'll is like the happens. Time for the movie montage where, you know, like the leg and the arm and they all start coming together and then stomp. Start making their way to the Capitol.
Right. All right. I think have we gotten transportation out of our system for this week?
I think maybe we have. I think we've covered it all.
I'm sure this will be the last time we talk about it for at least a week.
At least a week.
All right. Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
For even more discussion about transportation funding and more discussion and more discussion, you can subscribe for new episodes of the podcast on iTunes. You can also rate and review the show there. It's available on Google Play and most podcatching apps. And all of our past episodes are available at wpr.org/politics.